Good evening. We are coming to you live this evening here on KWOJ 102.5 FM in San Angelo. KWOJ 102.5 is a work of the Ninth and Main Church of Christ here in San Angelo. With current events affecting us all, we have decided to broadcast our Wednesday evening Bible study. I'm Dennis Reed, and I want to invite you to get your Bible and join with us this evening as we study a portion of God's Word. If you will also grab some paper and pen, I will be giving you some contact information shortly. You may want to ask a question or make a comment. We certainly want to provide you that opportunity. Keep your paper and pen handy as we study from God's Word. You will certainly want to take some notes. Our study this evening will be led by one of our ministers, Brother Mike Bonner. Here with Mike is Brother Royce Williamson. Together, they will lead us in a study of God's Word from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. Now, if you have your paper and pen, let me tell you how to contact us this evening here at KWOJ. We have set up a phone number for texting us any comments or questions you may have. That number is 325-284-8182. That's 325-284-8182. We will not be taking live calls. You may also send us an email. Our address is BibleStudy@kwoj.org. That's BibleStudy@kwoj.org. We are monitoring both the text and emails while we are live this evening. We hope that you will take advantage of the texting or emailing if for no other reason than to let us know you're listening. You'll be a great encouragement to us when you let us hear from you. And if you will, let us know whether you are listening over the air on your FM radio or over the internet from our live stream. You can access our live stream over the internet by going to our website, 9thandmaincoc.org, 9thandmaincoc.org, and that begins with the number 9th, 9thandmaincoc.org. Or if you have one of those Echo devices or similar devices, just ask it to play KWOJ. Now, once again, our phone number this evening for text is 325-284-8182. That's 325-284-8182. Our email address, BibleStudy@kwoj.org. Please let us hear from you. Now, as we begin our Bible study, if you would, if you're able, bow with me, and let's have a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Father, we're so thankful, Father, that we may approach you. We're so thankful for your Son, that he is there as our advocate. We're so thankful, Father, for the sacrifice that he made for us all. Father, as we study a portion of your word this evening, we pray for wisdom. We pray that you'll be with Mike and Royce, grant them wisdom. Help us all, Father, to have that desire to learn and study from your word that we might know how we should live. Help us each day, Father, as we strive to walk in the light, to be a light to others. We know, Father, that the world is faced with much turmoil at this time, and we know, Father, that you will see us through anything. Again, Father, be with us, and it's through your precious Son's name that we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Mike?
Brother Dennis, we really appreciate the introduction and you allowing everyone to have that information that is necessary for us to communicate with them and them with us. Royce, it's good to have you with us as we are about to embark on such a powerful and necessary subject, and that is dealing with fear. You know, Brother Royce, if you can, just kind of give them a little word of encouragement before we get into our study on tonight.
I'm glad to be here. You know, it's one of those topics that we're really kind of surrounded by a lot today because we're dealing in a time right now where people's minds are really on this coronavirus. We're hearing about a lot of sickness. It's known as a pandemic. It's going all over the world. At the same time, sadly, we are seeing people's monetary gains in the stock markets being lost at record pace. I'm a little bit of a historian, a little bit of a person who likes to learn about the past. And it kind of reminds you, but not quite to the degree of the great stock market crash of 1929. And certainly hope that it doesn't turn out quite as bad, where people were literally throwing themselves out of tall buildings to their death over such things because they love money so much. And it's a great topic for us to get into because fear sometimes rules people's life rather than letting God's word rule their lives.
That's true. That's true. We appreciate that. And, you know, you think about fear, and you are right. It has riddled our towns, our cities, our states, even our nation. And we can go even further, the world, because of the social media presence, Brother Royce. We see it all around us. And when I considered some of the thoughts for today, I thought about Psalm 11 and verse number 3, where the psalmist there said, and it was David, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's a great question. I believe that's a question that we can insert as we are talking about some of the powerful things that Jesus empowered his disciples with in Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through verse number 30. And so we'll talk about that. But hopefully we can share a little bit of encouragement in this seeming time of hopelessness. And hopefully people are not hopeless. Hopefully people are looking to some type of answer and wanting some answers in the midst of everything that's going on. And so even in San Angelo tonight, I know that there are some people who are a little bit terrified. They're concerned, and rightfully so. However, it goes back to the question that we just asked from the psalmist David. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? They stay faithful.
That's exactly right. No matter what life throws at us, we're able to remain calm in the midst of sometimes what looks like disastrous situations.
And that is true. You know, it caused me to think about life. And before we really get into the words of Jesus with his apostles in Matthew chapter 10, it made me think about time and chance happening to all men. And Ecclesiastes 3, and sometimes people want answers. Why are these things taking place? Well, there's not an answer for all things. But we ought to be thanking God that we have the technology and the mentality to be able to research and come up with some type of answer for this, at least from a medical perspective. And so when I considered that, I considered in the beginning, remember when Adam partook of that fruit, and the Bible demonstrates to us that God, he actually cursed them because they sinned. And it was thorns and thistles was going to be taking place, which is a figure of speech for pain and suffering, hardship. And we know that those things come. And so when sin entered into the world, we understand that diseases and everything followed it. But before that, everything was perfect, Brother Royce.
Exactly.
And so we want to keep that in mind. As I was doing some research, I was thinking, has there ever been a time where there were natural disasters? Of course. When I was looking at Amos chapter 1, verse number 1, there were earthquakes.
Right, yes.
I was looking at Acts chapter 27 and verse number 13 and following, it was a hurricane. That was interesting. But then I was considering some of the diseases of the day, and Jesus went about doing good, Acts 10, verse number 38. He was healing diseases. But we find those things taking place even today. Well, that caused fear and trepidation in the lives of people. Well, the same things are happening today. Natural disasters, diseases, viruses. We have all of these things taking place even today. So we have to ask ourselves this question. Are we going to be fearful or faithful?
That's a very good question. And, you know, you stop and think about all of the diseases that Jesus healed. And you think about those things that they had no answer for from a human perspective. He went about healing things just as scary as what we think of today is maybe as AIDS. Well, they had things that were just as scary to them in their day and age that they had no answers for.
That's right.
And so you have two approaches. You can either go through life in constant fear of the unknown, or we can approach it from a biblical standpoint of, I'm going to approach it from a standpoint, I'm going to put my faith in God.
That's right.
And I'm going to know that when all things wash out, that I'm going to remain standing.
Appreciate that. And that ought to bring us to the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 through verse number 31. Let's read that, Brother Royce. There the Bible teaches us, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. It caused me to think about that word fear coming from the Greek word phobeo or phobia, however way you want to pronounce that. However, the definition and the connotation is powerful because it literally means to put to flight by fear and terrifying, literally to scare away, to make one afraid.
Right.
And there are many things that cause people to be afraid. But the last thing that God or Jesus Christ rather wanted his disciples to be in the midst of going out and teaching and preaching the gospel and healing and making lives better for people was for them to be afraid of man.
Okay.
Or to be afraid of anything that may confront them and hinder the gospel to go out.
That's exactly right.
And so as the people of God, Brother Royce, we have to keep that in mind, that even though this is a situation that is different, it's a situation we've never been confronted with before. However, the mindset that we have should be a spiritual mindset. It doesn't mean that we go about business as usual, but it does mean that we go about spiritual business as usual. And so here we understand that Jesus was literally empowering his men because this was going to be a great task before them, and they had no time for fear of any type, whether it was by man, whether it was by punishment or of beating. None of this should cause them to stop going forward with the job or the task which was at hand.
I have two passages that as I was looking at this particular passage in Matthew chapter 10, that came to my mind. And those were both passages from the great book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4 came to my mind, where David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, here's the part that really jumps out at me. "For you are with me."
Amen.
He's talking about God. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And if you go over to Psalm 27, rather, in verse 1, listen to what David said, another psalm of David. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Boy, I tell you what, David was spot on with this, wasn't he?
That's right.
He says, "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" That's the kind of attitude I think Jesus was trying to get us to understand as we read this particular passage. What can man do to me? Why should I fear whatever happens in this life as long as God is on my side, as long as I'm walking with my Lord?
That's right. You caused me to think about Psalm 84 in verse number 11, where the sons of Korah had this to say, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And consider this in the context of the discussion we're having tonight. You think of everything that's going on around us. My responsibility is to keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, and to understand that if I'm walking uprightly, God's going to take care of me.
Okay.
He's going to take care of us. And I love what Job would say in Job 19, "I know my Redeemer liveth."
Yeah.
I know he lives. And so regardless of what may take place in my body, Job 13, verse number 15, "Though he slay me, I'll trust him."
That's right.
And so the idea, even in this fearful situation that we're going through, we don't have to fear. We can walk on the water metaphorically to Jesus, understanding that it's going to be okay regardless of what may take place in our lives.
That's exactly right. That's an excellent thought there.
And so even though this situation may have many in a frenzy, we have to trust in the Lord like Jesus was actually. Let's go to Matthew 10 real quick, friends. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 again, one thing I love about this text gives great encouragement because, again, the disciples were going out in this major task.
They were going to go out and preach the gospel and help people realize Jesus Christ is Lord. There is a kingdom. The kingdom is the church. The church does exist. There's no reason to fear. Why? You can be saved. So it doesn't matter what comes your way. And so in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, "And do not fear those who kill the body." Notice the language there, Brother Royce. "But cannot kill the soul." Why? Because God is the one that created the soul. He is the one that fashioned the soul. Even though he fashioned the body, even though it can be put to death, we have a God that is spiritual. And so there may be some loss of finances. There may be loss of time on the job. There may be a loss of some other things. But if we're faithful to God, we won't lose a soul.
That's right.
And we have to be focused. And I've been saying this online for the last couple of days. This too shall pass.
Oh, yes.
It'll pass. And so, but notice what he goes on to say. But rather fear him who is able to destroy. That's a different word than the word kill. Able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But notice verse 29. And then, Brother Royce, if you can make a couple comments here. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will?" You know what that instructs me and demonstrates to me? Is that God knows everything that's going on.
Oh, yes.
He knows about this virus. He knows that this is causing great disturbance upon the earth. He knows that. But we have to trust him.
Why? Because God is still in control.
Yes.
God hasn't lost control of the situation.
That's right.
Where sometimes we feel like everything is out of control because of our finite capabilities. We're not infinite like God is. We realize that we have limitations. When we stop and think about God, he is in complete control of everything.
That's
he
right.
has not lost control.
Right.
And so he looks down on this. He knows what's happening.
Right.
He's not disturbed by it. He's not beside himself like sure. we get sometimes. And when we learn how to put our faith in God, you know what that helps us to be?
Mm-hmm.
Not beside ourselves. We become calm. We become relaxed.
In 1 Peter chapter 5, Brother Royce, and if we can, friends, please turn there. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll look at one passage. It's a very encouraging passage. And hopefully this broadcast will be a source of encouragement for all of us because we're all in this together, every last one of us as human beings. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, for the Christian is so powerful. And this is why we have to be in Christ. Why? Because that's where the safety is. That's where the security is. But the Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Notice why. He cares for you. Isn't that beautiful? He cares for us.
Let me tell you something that I looked up on that. And I thought this was interesting because in our English language, we look at that and it uses the word care twice.
Yes.
Okay? But in the Koine Greek language that the New Testament was written in, two different words.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
When it says here that we cast our cares upon him, it's the word that we would use for anxiety.
That's good.
But the other one is for him because his concern is for us. He cares, his concern. He has an interest in us. Our anxieties, our fears are cast upon him, and he returns that with his concern.
I appreciate that point because there are many who are concerned about their businesses.
Yes.
They're concerned about their children's education. Schools are closing down. They have to spend time at home. Well, if we can say it like this, this would be a great time to educate your children at home.
Mm-hmm.
And demonstrate to them, even though this is a tough time for all of the nation, there's not one single group of people being pointed out. Not one. Everybody is involved in this and being affected by it. But God cares. He's concerned. And so we take our anxieties to him, which means that if I take my anxiety to the Lord, doesn't matter what it is, we know that God cares.
Okay.
And leave it there. And allow the situation to work itself out as you do your part. We still got to do our part, which means that we may have to help one another out a little bit more than what we usually would until everyone else gets back on their feet, and that's fine.
Okay. That's an excellent point. And that goes back to our care for humanity. Mm-hmm. That goes back to the mindset of a Christian, first of all, as we go over the book of Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 10. You know, we're told there that we are to be of assistance to all men. Yes, especially to the household of faith, but yes, to all men. And yeah, we may have to help out some. We who are in a situation where maybe we haven't lost our job, maybe we haven't suffered the kind of loss that our neighbor did, we can step in and be of a help to them until they get back on their feet.
And this is our – go ahead, brother.
And I was about to say, what that might do, that might be a perfect time, a perfect opportunity to help spread the gospel to somebody who had never heard it before.
That's a great point, because this is a perfect opportunity. As Jesus is sending his disciples out, mm-hmm. he's empowering them. Can you imagine taking on this great task of teaching and preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, and having that assurance, God knows, God sees, God's going to protect me, it's going to be okay. Well, what about the person who is struggling in their faith? You know, they're crying at night because of what's going on. They are afraid that they might get this virus, or someone in their family does have the virus. So thankful, as of right now, we don't have any cases or may not have many cases here in the Angelo area, but we do know that there are some locales. I was just talking to a good brother in San Francisco, and they have cases everywhere, and people are frantic, he said. You know what? They may be crying on their beds. I got a passage for them. Look at Psalm 56. In Psalm 56 and verse number 8, we're going to read through verse number 11. Here we see that David has some very powerful words to say. And friends, take these notes, because it'll be good for your encouragement later. He says, "You number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Doesn't that sound personal?
It does.
You know, and we need that encouragement as people. You know, and can you imagine telling someone who is struggling, believing that God exists? Just, you know what? God cares. I don't know if he cares or not. Trust me. He cares. And let me demonstrate to you through good moral behavior that he does care. But notice verse number 9. "When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?"
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that powerful?
And doesn't that remind you just a little bit of Romans 8 and 31?
Yes, sir.
If God be for us,
who
can be against us?
That's right.
You see, and this really does personalize it. He says, because you do number my wanderings.
That's right.
You put my tears into your bottle.
That's right.
You know, are they not in your book?
In your book.
God's book.
Right.
And so, and then when you add to that, that just what popped out of my mind, this I know because God is for me.
And that goes back to the point of Matthew 10, verse 29. There's a sparrow that hits the ground. The
God
Father,
knows.
God knows it.
God knows it.
And so when we're crying on our bed, or we're hurting, or we're just, I don't know what's going on. Well, settle down.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. But you got to stay close, especially members of the Lord's church. Got to stay close to one another. Why? Because the strength is in us staying together. We got to stay together.
Good thought.
Have to stay together. And so if we can go back to Matthew's account, unless you have more to say about that, brother.
No, we're good there. Thank you.
In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 30, notice he goes on with giving them that encouragement, empowering their minds, letting them know that they're going to be okay. I'm going to be with you. But notice what he says. But the very hairs, notice the intimacy there, of your head are all numbered. It's beautiful.
It is.
Now, imagine hearing those words from your Lord, your master, that the Father in heaven, he knows everything about you. It's going to be okay. No wonder we can see that Peter can stand up to the Sanhedrin. No wonder they can stand up to the government. No wonder they can stand up in the midst of all these cases. Why? Because God is for us.
Yeah.
And remember what John said in 1 John 4 and verse number 4? greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
That's right.
And so we got all these things. Go ahead, brother.
And you know, that does cause me to also think, when you stop and think about, God knows literally every hair of every human being on the face of this earth. That is incredible knowledge. That far surpasses my capability to even fathom that. Because, to be honest with you, I don't know how many hair I have on my head.
That's right.
I really don't. I don't have a clue. Don't really want to know. I don't guess. But God knows.
That's right.
And if he knows, and he cares that much to know, you know, that tells me how much he cares about me.
And the knowledge that we have should eliminate the fear.
Okay. It should.
It should eliminate the fear. And if I don't know, like if I haven't studied for an exam, when I walk into that classroom, I ought to be afraid.
Oh, yeah.
But if I've studied for that exam and I put in the necessary time and attention to the science of it and making sure that I got the answer, so it doesn't matter what the instructor throws my way.
Right.
When I sit down, I ought to be able to put down the answers. Why? I have no fear. That's not arrogance.
No.
It is having the confidence that God wants us to have. So that's why we have to spend time in the Word of God, in prayer, yeah, meditation. And so when things come our way, okay, let me think this through. Let me go to God in prayer. Let me see what the Word of God says, and then let me move forward with it.
You know, as we were talking about how we wanted to approach tonight's study, Brother Mike, I was thinking about two passages. I'd like you to kind of give me some thoughts on these as well. You know, 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. You know, when you stop and think about perfect love from God's perspective, that's not hard to understand.
That's right.
Because God is perfect in every attribute, in every characteristic trait. He lacks nothing.
That's right.
Perfect love casts out fear. What does that mean for us?
I believe what it means for us, especially when I consider the scriptures, number one, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8, we understand those are the definitions of love. That's love epitomized, if you will. And when I have that and I'm working on those things and I'm exercising righteousness in that, then I am perfecting, I'm maturing, I'm growing. And the more that I grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18, the more that I'm perfected, I'm maturing, and I'm being exactly what the Father wants me to be, and that's Romans 8:29, being conformed to the image of Christ.
And that casts out fear of displeasing God and being out of his good pleasures.
Yes. And if I displease God, I'm going to do what is right to get
there
to be right with the Lord.
That's exactly right.
Because every now and then, Brother Royce, we mess up. We make some mistakes.
Sure we do.
We say things, think things, and praise God
do
that
things.
He is a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness.
Exactly right. But another verse I was thinking about was 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Of power and of love and a sound mind.
That's right.
And when I think about that, is when we involve ourselves in God's word, then that spirit of fear that the world gives us, God takes away. He gives us that sound mind. God's given us spirit, not of fear, but a sound mind. And so we look at that, and I think in terms of that sound mind, that helps us get through these times that we're in right now, that we have people that are running through or are going through life fearful of every little thing that's happening around them, and they don't have control of their life right now. We have a sound mind because we're striving to be what God wants us to be.
I believe that's an excellent point. And when we consider 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Brother Royce, think about it contextually. You have Timothy, young gospel preacher.
Yes.
He's in Ephesus. Perhaps there were some situations that he felt some trepidation with the brethren, with the church there. Something was going on that Paul had to write to him and tell him, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And sometimes when we think of the mass, the media, and the massive information that's coming across, and we're taking in all of this information, And if we're not careful, it will naturally put fear in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I can just see, again, keeping my eyes on Jesus. How do I do that? It's nothing mystical, nothing magical. It's a message. We go to the message of God's word, and God's message teaches us, I'm with you. Don't leave me. I won't leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13, verse 6. And so I believe you brought out some excellent points, powerful passages concerning fear, and God has not given us that,
right,
but power, love, and sound mind.
Exactly right.
Well, when we consider the idea of power, love, and a sound mind, we consider how God wants us to have a healthy mind. The idea of making sure that we have a sound mind, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1, which is based upon sound teaching. Did you have a question or comment?
We have a question come in. It says, what can Christians who are not fearful do to encourage those Christians and even non-Christians who are, especially in a time full of doubt or uncertainty?
That's a great question. That's actually the next thing on my notes.
Oh, fantastic.
You know,
somebody's reading your mind, Brother Mike.
The next thing on my notes is, what ways can we share with each other and those who are in our midst who may be fearful that they're valuable? Really, that's the key. The key is to get people to see their value.
Okay.
When a person understands that I'm made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, God breathed into man the breath of life, Genesis 2:7, put him in the garden, a place of ease and comfort and a place where he can work and God can have oversight over them and they can look to God. Really, what we can do as Christians is be Christians.
Okay.
It's really not that hard. One thing I love to do when I'm talking to people, when I go to the gym, when I'm talking to people at the grocery store, sometimes if I've have some type of rapport with them, what have you read lately? And they'll talk about some book. And I'm like, that's good. We'll start there. But then I say, what have you read in the Bible lately?
Okay.
And because I want their minds to go in a different direction. Our responsibility as Christians, going to the question, is to get people to see the goodness of God.
Okay.
So that's one of the answers to that question. How can we help people in the midst of this chaos and unrest? Get them to see the goodness of God. Well, how do I do that? Demonstrate righteous behavior before them. Build them up with the words of faith. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32, I commend you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And also demonstrate to people that it's okay to lean on other people. And sometimes, Brother Royce, we want to act like we're strong by ourselves, but we're stronger together.
I think that's a good point. That, you know, that there's that old expression that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link.
That's a great point.
You know, we've often thought about that terminology or that expression about, you know, one pencil can be broken pretty easily, but you bundle 12, 13, 14, 15 pencils together, and pretty soon you can't be broken.
That's right.
And sometimes we're afraid to admit that you know, we're not quite as strong as we need to be. And so, you know, to help maybe answer that question is to maybe admit that, you know, to somebody that maybe we see somebody that's not maybe quite as strong as they should be. How about going to them and saying, hey, I need your help on something. And maybe you need some help I can help you with. And that shared help can actually make the two of you stronger together.
In Jude verse 20, I believe it is, I love this passage because Jesus' half-brother has this to say. He says, but you, beloved, notice that term of endearment. Mm-hmm. If we can do anything for our brethren, who are struggling in their security, in their faith. Maybe they have some fear and trepidation in their hearts. Call them beloved. Well, why is that? Because anytime you think of that term of endearment, you have to think of intimacy. When God calls us beloved, when his men call us beloved, that's special. And today, even in the midst of all of this, it's easy for people not to feel so special. And they begin to blame God. Well, why is this happening to me? Well, this is my question, why not?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Why not? Because that which doesn't kill you should make you stronger. And so here he says, but beloved, building yourselves up. You can't build yourself up by yourself.
That's right. It's plural, isn't it?
It's building plural.
Building yourselves.
And on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. How do I keep myself in the love of God? I stay in the Word. Mm-hmm. I stay among His people. And this is why, going back to that 2 Timothy 1, verse number 7, Brother Royce,
right,
and how Jesus did not want His men to be fearful. Don't fear, because there's a great job, a task in front of us as the people of God. This is the perfect opportunity for the Lord's people, the Lord's church, to shine as lights.
Okay.
It's the perfect opportunity. And so when we see a brother or a sister and they're getting caught up with the mentality of fear, we need to tell one another, relax, relax. It's okay. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Because one thing that God doesn't do, according to James 1, verse number 17, He doesn't change. He doesn't shift. There's no variation with Him.
That's
neither
correct.
Shadow of turning. And so with those things being said, with everything moving, stock market moving, people moving, doctors moving, cars moving, God is just like this.
That's
He's
exactly
steady.
Right.
He doesn't move.
And when you said something that made me think a little bit about a concept that we see sprinkled throughout the New Testament, and that is the idea that we can actually be bold without being haughty or arrogant.
We better not be.
In fact, think about it this way. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 16.
Okay.
Let us therefore come how?
Boldly.
Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, the idea of being bold doesn't mean arrogant. Doesn't mean to be self-centered.
Right.
It means that we come bold because we have a God on our side.
Right.
It's not because I'm on my side. It's not because I have something to boast of, but because I have God behind me.
That's right.
He's my strength. He's my bulwark.
Brother Royce, that's an excellent point. I want to make a point concerning education. Because if we're going to be a people not riddled with fear, we have to be educated.
True.
It's okay to be educated, and my wife tells me this all the time, with what's going on in the government. It's okay to be educated with what's going on with this virus. Spend a little time in educating yourself. Many times people are fearful and scared because they don't know the information, or they're surmising, or they're guessing, or they're assuming. Well, if we take a little time and just educate ourselves with the virus, what's going on, maybe we won't be as afraid.
True.
I believe people are afraid of God that way. And I told someone this just today. I said, when a people can be governed by fear, that's dangerous.
It is.
One thing that God does, God governs us by fear, but that fear is reverence. And that reverence is based upon the knowledge of the Word of God. And so the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of knowledge.
That's right.
And when one departs from evil, that's understanding. And so the more we know about God, the more we reverence Him, we fear Him. The more we know about sin, the less we fear it. Why? Because we're doing the will of God.
And the more we know about sin, the less we fear it, because we know how to combat it. We know where in God's Word to go to refute that sin, to stand up against it and not allow it to rule our life.
Good. Let's give them some practical things to consider.
Okay.
In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, these are familiar passages. As I was putting some of these notes together, I was thinking about throwing in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and that's a good passage, great passage. But I was considering that education part and how God wants us to be students. And when we're involved, Brother Royce, with education, meditation, and application, then we'll be ready for proclamation.
Okay.
And really, when we consider those four things, again, this is the perfect time for us as children of God to be steady, to be on a solid rock, a solid foundation. When everybody else is topsy-turvy, I'm not saying we're just cool, calm, and collected, but we are collected.
Okay.
And how? Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. This is how. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, notice what he says, Brother Royce.
Meditate on these things.
We have too many people meditating on everything but the Word of God.
That's true.
And you have to spend time in reading, in meditation, application, so you can put yourself in a position to tell others, calm down.
That's an excellent point. And, you know, we're talking about some things there. And remember, we went back to you brought up 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, and we learned that the first word care there was from the Greek word that meant anxiety. But notice what he says in verse 6, be anxious.
Yes.
In other words, don't have anxiety. Be anxious for nothing.
That's right.
But in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication. What? With thanksgiving.
That's right.
With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Why? Because he's the God that of all giving.
That's right.
He's the only one that can grant. You know, I oftentimes hear people say things like, you know, well, I'm sending my thoughts your way. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
But when somebody says, I'm praying for you, what they're saying is that they are going to petition a God who can actually do something about it.
Isn't that our opportunity again to shine?
I think it is.
To those who are just, they're trembling because they don't know if they're going to have a check next month.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Can you imagine telling someone who doesn't have a prayer life, who doesn't go to church, who doesn't read their Bible, praying for you? As a matter of fact, I read a couple passages last night with you in mind. It's okay to tell people that.
Yeah.
Get personal with them. You never know. They might dock the doors one day.
Yeah.
And what we're doing, we're just planting seeds. We're just trying to do our part. I tell people all the time, we need to just do our part, get out of God's business.
Yeah.
My job is to plant and water. God gives the increase.
I'll take care of it from there.
And so if we're adding these things to our faith, if
yes.
we're thinking on these things, isn't it naturally going to come out of our lives when we begin talking to people? It's okay. Settle down. It's okay. And so excellent point right there, brother. As I was thinking about what you were saying, look at verse number 9, Brother Royce, in Philippians 4. He says, the things which you learned, received, heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, isn't it ironic that when you look at this verse, when you do these things, which means that to not have fear, it is a works religion.
True.
Christianity is a works religion. You got to do these things.
You got to do them.
For the God of peace to be with you.
Yeah.
But look at verse number 7. In verse number 7, and this is going back to what you just said as relates to not being anxious. In verse number 7, Royce, he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the first part here, he says, the peace of God. The
right.
second part, the God of peace. Mm-hmm. We want both of them.
Yeah.
We want both of them. We want God and peace in our lives.
Exactly right.
And if people are not careful in the midst of these times, they're going to take a P-I-E-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to take it to their head, and that's not encouraging. That's not good. We want to give them the P-E-A-C-E, the peace of God.
Peace of God.
And that peace of God, what is it going to do for our lives? And for them, it's going to guard their hearts and minds.
Yeah. And it's that peace of God that surpasses all understanding.
And that guarding their hearts and mind actually goes back to Matthew chapter 10.
It does.
Verse number 28. You know, hey, don't fear him who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul.
I mean, the body's going to die anyway.
It's going to die anyway.
Somewhere down the line, whether you live to be 20 years old or
right.
120, it's
That's
going
right.
to go away one way or the other.
That's right. And so we need to keep those things in mind. A couple points I wanted to for us to consider, Brother Royce. Matthew chapter 5. in Matthew 5:13-16, and friends, if you have your Bible still, let's turn there. Matthew 5:13-16. I was pondering these in my office today, and as I was pondering, it caused me to think about some things. Three things I want us to consider. This is a perfect opportunity for us as members of the Lord's church to help not just each other, but those who are outside of Christ struggling in this situation. We need to be a people who demonstrate wisdom, influence, and a great example to those who are fearful. Wisdom, influence, and a great example. These are practical things. Number one, in Matthew 5:13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. We need to be an influence.
Exactly.
And then he says, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Here we see we ought to be a source of wisdom.
Okay.
A source of wisdom. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, you need to ask God.
Ask God.
Get it from the word. And then number three, he says, you are the light of the world. Then he says, a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, which means that it can be seen, an example.
Okay.
Shouldn't we go about being an example to people?
Exactly.
And so it's okay to let people know, are you concerned about this situation? Of course I'm concerned. My fellow man is being affected by this. Of course I'm concerned. However, it's not really bothering me to the point that I'm losing sleep.
Okay.
It's not really bothering me to the point that I'm not keeping my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. And so when we consider being fortified before the trial, before the problems, we need to be fortified. And so if we're fortified before the problem, then we ought to be able to go through the problem. But what if I'm not fortified before the problem? Then you need to be working on your fortification in the midst of the problem, which is harder.
That's harder. Yeah, it definitely is. If that's like you're going into the battle unprepared and without the proper equipment for the battle.
And we need to be equipped. And since we need to be equipped, what a great opportunity for us to be a source of wisdom. We need to be an influence. We need to be an example.
Exactly.
We need to be those things. And if we are those things, guess what's going to happen when this too shall pass? People are going to be saying, you know what? Let me go see what they're talking about over there. Maybe they can help me to be a better person, a moral person. We never know, Brother Royce. This whole situation, even though we know that God is not the orchestrator of things like this, we know that sin is the reason why all of this has been brought into the world, Genesis 3. We understand that. But we do know that God himself is a refuge. Psalm 46:1.
And this may be an opportunity for Christians to shine in this world. Remember what it says in verse 16 of
yes.
Matthew 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now what?
Glorify.
And glorify your Father who's in heaven. This may be happening right now as an opportunity for people to look at Christians and say, when everybody else was losing it, these people were remaining calm. They had their faith and trust in God. Maybe they've got something that we can use.
Which means, Brother Royce, it's okay to be a Daniel.
It is.
It's okay to be a Nehemiah, a Shadrach, a Meshach, a Abednego. It's okay for us to be people like that. It's okay to be an Esther. It's okay to be able to trust God when it seems as if people are kind of going the other way. It's okay to be a Joshua and a Caleb when you have the 10 who are so fearful because of the outside situation and circumstances. Mm-hmm. But we got to remain straight. Well, they're telling us that we can't really worship. We can't gather together. Calm down. There's a way to handle the situation. You don't have to fight fire with fire. Calm down and a lot of times what's happening is people are using things that they shouldn't be using, and that's that force. And so we want to make sure that we keep our eyes on Jesus again. And so as we are thinking about the people of God, we want to make sure, Brother Royce, that we are being an example in front of them.
Okay. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for what?
Refuge
to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. That's Hebrews 6 and verse 18.
Let me read Psalm 46 in verse number 1, because that's a powerful passage right there. And you consider Psalm 46 in verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength. And maybe we rely too much on our monetary strength. Maybe we rely too much on our physical strength. And we need to be relying more on God. And it's okay. It's okay to say, you know what? I haven't been as focused as I really needed to be. I had a call today, a text today, and a guy said, you know, this situation is causing me to think about my life, and I need to be going to church more. And you know what? Usually you would kind of coddle them in that particular situation. I didn't. I said, you're right. You're right.
Good.
You need to come on. Why? Because if God is trying to get your attention and you believe that, then you need to move on that. And so God is our refuge and strength. Now notice the rest of it. A very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Friends, we don't have to fear anything. You don't have to fear anything. Especially if you're a child of God, member of the Lord's church, you don't have anything to fear.
And I'd like to just throw one little thing in here as our time is kind of starting to wear down a little bit. But one of the things I thought about that I think sometimes causes people to fear so much, and that is that we get in trouble by worrying.
Yes.
We worry. And Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse about 25.
That's a good point.
Going through verse 34, and four times, now your King James renders it, take no thought.
Okay.
But bringing it into more modern language, the New King James renders it, do not worry.
That's right.
Even says to the point, don't worry about your life. That's in verse 25. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about what we're going to eat. That's in verse 31. Don't worry about tomorrow. Right. We get caught up as human beings sometimes in worry. Now, there is a difference between concern,
yes,
and worry.
Yes.
But we get caught up, if we're not careful, in worrying about things. And worry prompts fear. It is going to push us to the point, I'm going to get fretful. I'm going to worry over things. And next thing you know, it's not just a matter of I'm concerned about this or I'm concerned about that. Now I let worry drive me to fear over things.
That's right. Isn't it interesting that the Christian, when he or she is properly educated and they remember the things that they have either read or been educated with or in Colossians chapter 3, friends, verses 1 through verse number 4, I want to capitalize, Brother Royce, on the word life. You know, don't worry about your life. Well, why not? Why shouldn't I worry about my life? That doesn't sound right. Well, this is why. Since then, you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. A great person to be hid inside of is Christ.
Christ.
What better person to be hid inside of than Christ? And then verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so the question is, maybe you're not a member of the church. Then your life is not hidden with Christ. And this is what we want you to be thinking about that. and all of the fear that's going on around you, being in Christ and reading his word and praying and meditating on God's word and being around the people of God, it will help you with that. And Brother Royce, that's why we preach. That's why we're living this life, to help people realize you can have the best life, and it's in Christ.
And stop and think about this for just the way that the Apostle Paul worded that, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now stop and think about it. If your life is hidden with Christ in God, that means that God, Christ, being, your life being hidden in Christ with God, that means that everything that would cause you to fear, everything that would cause you to worry, is deflected. It doesn't get to you.
That's right.
Because you already have that outer barrier, if you will, of Christ and God.
And if it does get to me, Brother Royce, I got you.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
I got my fellow brethren. But I have to be transparent. I have to be honest. And sometime in fear, I don't want people to know that I'm fearful right now. Don't do that.
Right.
It's okay. James 5:16, the idea of going before the congregation and expressing and confessing fault. But the same idea is, brethren, I need strength. This situation has me kind of rattled. I'm concerned about my family's well-being. It's okay. Matter of fact, do you need anything? I have a little extra. Do you need something? Because if you do, I need you to take it. It's okay. A lot of times we don't want to do that. And we need to encourage one another. And when this too shall pass actually passes, if the Lord's will, then we'll all praise God together. And Brother Royce, that's what life is about. It's about trusting God, getting through the storm, and then allowing us to grow together.
And, you know, the amazing thing is we keep saying this expression, and it's true, this too shall pass. But what if it doesn't pass?
Yeah.
If you're in Christ, it's not going to matter.
It's not going to matter.
It's not going to matter because you're going to go home.
That's right.
You're going to be where Christ is, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father.
That's right.
He's going to deliver the kingdom up to the Father, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24.
So, Brother Royce, as we come to a close, is this the time for us to be drawing back from God? Or should we be drawing
nearer
to God? Is this a time for us to be not assembling with the brethren or assembling with the brethren? Is this a time for us to not be texting and messaging one another, sending words of encouragement, or should we be sending words of encouragement?
We ought to be using every tool that we have right now to be building each other up in the
Amen.
Faith, to strengthen each other. And while sometimes maybe we do have to make some modifications, we ought to be making modifications as minimally as possible.
That's right.
We ought to be staying as close to our norm as we can.
That's right. So with the last few minutes that we have, I want to encourage all of us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right there in Matthew 6:33.
That's it. And also I want us to consider the life of Jesus in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, he went about doing good. Let's not allow these times to keep us from doing good. Let's look for opportunities to look good. One older brother said to me on one occasion, he said, when you get to a point where you're thinking about yourself too much, go do something for someone else.
Amen.
Go do something for someone else. And the fear will go away. All of the worry will go away. Why? Because you're looking for someone to help. Brother Royce, can we have a word of prayer? Do you mind leading a word of prayer? And then we'll go ahead and allow the Bible study to be those who are listening.
Absolutely. God and Father, we are so thankful for this day. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are there for us at all times. We're so thankful, Father, for the word that you've given to us, that we can open up the word at any time, study our Bibles, and grow. And Father, that realizing that truly that the fear of this world does not have to dominate our lives. Heavenly Father, help us each day to be a light shining in this world. Help us to be beacons in this world. Ask Heavenly Father now that as we go through this day and through the rest of this week, that we'll be positive examples to the world around about us. And Father, if there's anything that we can do for others, that we will be the first ones to volunteer for that. Be with us, guide us now, and strengthen us as we strive to be what you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.